get into gates. And look, let's just fire this off. Yeah. Episode 250!
Whoa!
One more time!
We should replace the hip hop horn with like just the sounds of the whales.
Oh yeah,
that sounded a little bit acoustic.
We
I
are
apologize.
Talking not just whales, because that's where I thought you were going. What, two episodes ago, we're talking about the return parts one and two, and you were discussing something else that we don't need to necessarily repeat. But you can
say
go back
it, Mitch.
To
it. Just go and say it. Just say it. I want to hear you say it.
A giant clit. And one of you guys said,
I believe
wait
it was enlarged.
Enlarged. I'm so sorry. Yeah. It does change enlarged. The context. And you're like, oh, wait till next week. And then, oh, the whale, I know. So I'm like, oh, is it an episode called
Brendan Fraser?
The whale. Yes, yeah. Brendan Fraser cameos. But no, we're talking about Echoes, which obviously, you know, it's got to do with, you know,
Flagis
whales.
Alice.
Yes. So, I mean, yeah, we're talking, okay.
I told you that in private.
How's that feeling, by the way?
I think you all just didn't have any goal at all. Like, you there's six children between the two of you.
Mm.
Not one of them
Why
has
do you keep saying that?
Because it's wild to me.
Because we can never get to each other because there's literally six children between us.
Yeah. The fact that none of you, like, gave them the middle name Flagisalis is ridiculous.
It is sad.
I mean, when Peter Griffin tells us that Meg Griffin's real name is actually Megatron Griffin.
Like, I've never heard that.
I've literally said it on this podcast before.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's probably, it's so funny every time, like when you hear it for the first time,
so ridiculous.
That I make myself forget it so that when I hear it again,
I thought you were joking.
Someone calls Meg Megan or whatever, or Megan, and she's like, that's not my name.
Shit, a Meg.
And like, well, what's Meg short for? And turns out Meg is short for Megatron.
That's so
good. That's what's on her birth certificate.
So good.
Megatron Griffin.
That's so good.
Oh, and Stewie, oh God, Gilligan Griffin.
Is it right?
Yeah. Stuart Gilligan Griffin is Stewie's full name.
No wonder he hates his parents. Shout out to all the Gilligans out there. We're in the Pegasus Galaxy for episode 250, talking about Echoes. A lot of whales going on.
Flagisalis.
Flagisalis. What's a really scientific word for the sun?
Enlarged
thing?
Clit.
The sun
it's exploding. It's got a real climax at the end.
CME, this is what I do every Friday. It's a coronal mass ejection.
Oh, my God.
That's
lock up the mountain.
Lock up the mountain.
Initiate wildfire.
Yeah.
That's what he's been doing for the last two seasons as he's been retired. Yeah, righto, mate.
I'm bearing down for a coronal mass ejection.
Brendan, why don't you fire up our trusty friends and future makers of the Stargate franchise, Amazon, and let me read the synopsis for this episode. Maybe it's a nice transition. We went from reading the synopsis. Okay, sure, it's because I keep forgetting my DVDs, but we did start reading them off the back of DVDs, and now I'm forcing myself to transition.
Great
pause.
People.
That's very modern of you.
Pause, thank you. To the synopsis.
Take that, Zoe.
From
well, I don't think we
from Amazon.
Do any of us have the SGU DVDs? I don't know.
SGU,
yeah,
absolutely do.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Maddie,
there's no synopsis on them though. I don't think they don't come with a synopsis book or anything.
No, I'm just asking.
Yeah. Oh no, I have physical media of every single Stargate except for the Children of the Gods remake. And,
yeah, why would you
and
bother?
Origins.
I did buy that, but it was just, I think, you know.
Limited edition.
Well, and yeah, just, you know, it was back when.
There's only six made.
I lived at home and I just, you know, half of my pay should have just forwarded directly onto JB Hi-Fi because it was going to be spent there anyway. And I'm like, oh, I've got to do this to complete my set. And then I got
you
older
might
and
as well
Stargate
use
Origins
it.
Got created. And just, I'm like, I don't care how many physical copies you make of that.
You
I'm not
can use
that.
It
you
as could, a coaster.
Yes.
Because there's no boobs or bush in it.
Yeah, so why
you
bother?
You couldn't U2 Origins to me. Like, I would just be like, if that just appeared
it.
Somewhere, I'd be like, delete, 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 delete. Like,
it would cause you to, throw out physical media.
Yeah.
It is good that there is, like, one worse than SGU because I feel like SGU on its own in a different kind of franchise would
if it wasn't Stargate
way better.
You mean? Like
it was trying to be Battlestar Galactica, that's why
now that Jacob the good one is watching the
good
way that he is with
three-star Jacob's,
Chapper iPhone
Ellen
how did because he said Universe was it the first one that he watched
they
or
watched
just
it
his
first.
Favorite
so they
he watched it first right
yeah with Ellen he made Ellen watch SGU first because it was his favorite.
It was his favorite, but it was her first watch. How's he feeling now? Do you know? Like,
I think he said he actually it might have dropped down because I think he watched it a lot, And he said, like, this may as well be his first watch through of Atlantis. He knows next to nothing about Atlantis. But rewatching Stargate with SG-1 with Alan, he's like, oh, this is way better than I remember.
Yeah.
So I think he's at the point now where he's like, well, maybe SGU isn't my favorite anymore.
Wonder what that next watch through of Universe is going to be then, once he's watched everything else and a bit more of a balanced opinion or something.
I guess they do want to come on the podcast eventually, so I think they'll be here in the country around about the time we're doing Universe.
A female co-host? Are you mad?
Sexy. No, she'll sit in the booth.
Just flagellus and herself.
All right, episode 12 of season 3 of Atlantis Echoes. Taylor begins to see apparitions of ancients in distress and believes they are the ghosts of the ancients recently massacred by the replicators. McKay believes he's found the whale that saved him a year ago while trapped in a submerged puddle jumper. Those sound like two completely different episodes.
And kind of both shit.
Yeah, very, very strange. Like, and I watched this sort of like in two halves. And so, what I thought, you know, it was going to be about, and then I, you know, come back a couple of days later and watch it. I'm like, oh no, it was nothing like that. You know, and because I just
when you told me you'd only watched the first half, there, that I'm like, I almost said something that I was like, oh god, he probably hasn't even got to the part where the Daedalus shows up and then they do all the cool shit with the sun at the end.
Yeah.
He just thinks it's a story about whales and ghosts. Holy shit.
Yeah, basically, the whales are coming along and they're, you know, they've got their echolocation shit going on. Mm. They're creating disturbances and visions in people's heads. I mean, why are they zombie ancients? Who knows? But are they just because they wanted something scary? And it's up to everyone's own interpretation. They're just sending out signals and whatever you're afraid of. But then the fact that it was a shared vision by everybody, they were all seeing the same thing. It's like, okay, well, this is a design. It's not just, you know, what Taylor would see. And then, yeah, come the end, it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, the sun's just going to sort of have a little bit of a blast. Yeah. And it's destroyed planets in this galaxy before, in this solar system before, so we need to be careful.
It is a wild... If you try and like describe this episode in broad strokes, it's like you have to say to people are having visions because whales are sensing a solar event.
Mm.
That's a wild sort of sentence to weave together.
Yeah. Mm.
But I have to say, I really, really like this episode. Mm. I've been really looking forward to this one. And I can't quantify why. I always really enjoy this episode. Mm. And I don't know if it's going to be the fact that, like I said back in Phantoms, I always get confused about, even though I really, really like this episode, I always forget that it's called Echoes. Because I think, oh, Phantoms, oh yeah, that's the ghost one.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. So maybe it's just the fact that Phantoms sucks so hard and this like pops off.
Oh yeah.
That sort of, it's like every time I put it on, it's like, oh yeah, it's the good one. It's the good one. All right, let's go. Here we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think like all the whales, like we don't really get to find out much about the actual Atlantis planet. Like, yes, the smelly Taylor's people are living on the mainland and we have to evacuate them off screen every time something bad happens. But to know that we're kind of connected to the ancients via the flagellus and the story that they're telling generationally and now telling that story back to us on Atlantis, I think is a really cool sort of way to incorporate, remind us that Atlantis has been sitting under the ocean for 10,000 years and you know, it was on that planet for millions. It's like the very, very first shot of the first episode of Atlantis is Atlantis leaving Earth several million years ago, whatever it is. Like, this motherfucker has been around for longer than we ever really think about.
Yeah.
So I just love that connectivity. So you have all this cool, like, character building stuff and it's all interesting. And then you just have just the fucking some of the coolest CGI at the end with, like, the Daedalus just, like, going head first into this coronal mass ejection and like the sun just like and the diversion and, oh, I just love it.
Yeah. Just quick sidebar, like you just said that Taylor's people, we just have to the only time we ever hear of them is when we have to relocate them for some reason.
It's so annoying.
It's been that way for two full seasons.
Yeah, like
now.
One puddle jumper load at a time.
Yeah, I know. Like, well, that was going to be my thing.
Think
is
so,
that
yeah.
In the last episode, when like ever so briefly, the ancients return to Atlantis, and you know, Shepard or whoever goes up to Taylor and says, oh, so what's going to go on with you guys? And like, well, thankfully, they said they'll find a planet for us and they'll find a place for us to go. And I'm like, even they, who would have nothing to do with you, They seemingly they didn't do anything to the land on their planet, right? Like they had the city in the middle of the ocean, but it's not like Taylor's people are there living in giant structures left by the ancients. They're just like made just, up yeah, their own little village and shit, right? So like
you would hope in 3 years they'd started building something permanent, right? And yeah, just well, like,
surely the ancients would have had a reason to like why the water? Why'd you have to go like okay, whatever, doesn't matter. They had no reason seemingly to exist, have anything to do with the land. Taylor's people are on there. Not going to bother them. They haven't got speedboats. They're not beaming technology to zip back to Atlantis whenever they need to. And still, the ancients went, yeah, we don't want you on this planet anymore. Like, we've heard some of the shit. That was a long ride back in the puddle jumper, and they told us that you guys are really stinky and really annoying, and we're going to get you on a different planet.
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really think about that.
Turns out that smoke thing animal from, like, the first season was, like, that was Hellier's pet. And she's like, that little kid... And let my pet go. That was mine, motherfucker.
And look, I don't get the way that, you know, space works, sun, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, a sun, a star will exist for, you know, billions of years or whatever.
Yeah.
But the idea that this explosion, how did I, and I'm sorry, 3-star, that... Did they say, like, roughly how long it had been since the last one?
Did they sneakily say 15,000 years?
Right, okay.
I mean, that's where I was confused last week with the 15,000. But we could have asked the ancients who were here last week.
Yeah, remember
that.
And those.
They would have been like, oh, that mass coronal ejection's happening next week.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably prepped for
that. The last one that happened is ancient to us. It was, like, what, 5,000 years ago or whatever. So, yeah, you know.
And in this single episode... Mm. These dead ancients get more screen time than the live ancients did in the two-parter last week. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even Taylor's like, many ancients died here recently. Could that be the visions that I'm seeing? No. Mm. Nothing to do with them. Bye, Felicia. Yeah. Like, crazy. Yeah, it still baffles me that they just brushed over all those ancients that were there.
Yeah. No, I was just like, it was obviously, it was a warning. They said, you know, and I you know, like when you look to the sky and you see birds flying, like massive birds flying in a certain direction, you're like, oh, okay, we're going to get a storm and it's roughly this far away and it's coming from this direction because, you know, animals get some shit. You get us dopey humans who have come to rely on living in shelter and, you know, going on to bomb, Bureau of Meteorology, guys for outside of Australia.
Yeah.
And
bomb
and,
no B.
Yeah, exactly. Very important difference.
Yeah.
And finding out what the weather is that we, you know, don't go outside and sort of feel, you know, a tingle on the back of our ear and go, oh, we got a storm coming in 37 minutes or something.
Yeah, if you go outside, you can smell it.
Yeah, you can
see. I can definitely smell rain.
You can definitely smell rain, yeah.
Weirdly, in my dad's old house, which was, you know, kind of near the water, but kind of not, it doesn't happen anywhere else except for this old brick house they used to live in. I could be sitting there watching TV. And out of nowhere, I would just break out into a sweat.
Mm.
And I'd be like, oh, it's going to rain. And within 5 minutes, it rains. Like, in that house, my body was, like, super sensitive to humidity. Maybe because it was the brick or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, because, you know, as humidity rises, that's when it gets to rain. It must be when it gets to, like, 98% humidity, my body just starts sweating for absolutely no reason. And it happened every time. I'd just be like, it's about to rain. And, like, Dad look at the window and go, it's blue sky over there, you idiot.
Yeah.
Rain.
Yeah, right.
Come from the other direction. Every single time. But in no other house in my entire life.
And then you go Mean Girls, and while it's raining, you feel your tits, and you're like, it's 100% chance it's already raining,
I
you know?
I feel my tits all the time.
Oh, yeah, obviously. You know? Yeah, I'm just saying.
In the rain.
I live alone. Yeah, I just stand and get them all wet and soapy in the rain, just stand outside my front yard, just give them a jiggle.
But I'm just like, the idea that obviously, you know, these animals are like sending out a warning, and that they're... It's not, I'm not, okay, the sun is, you know, exists for as long as a star does, but, you know, it's not like these whales are tens or hundreds of thousands of years old. So it's not like they're, but maybe they had stories passed down. I don't know, but I'm like, was there a chance?
Oh, their genetic memory, I think they were saying.
Stuff, yeah, anything like that. But I was like, oh, had one of these occurrences from the star happened in the last 10,000 years, like everything would have been wiped out, right?
Yeah,
like none of these whales would have. So it's obviously it hasn't happened since the ancients were around. But I don't know. I just like when movies like, or you know, sci-fi, you know, and like Avatar 2 that was out what 18 months ago, and there are, you know, giant whales in there that are sentient. Not that they speak or anything from their mouths vocally, but they are able to communicate with the native peoples on that planet, and. Even though you're going to watch a big sci-fi film, you still have people that go and watch that sort of stuff and go, oh, a whale can talk. And I'm like, what are you talking? We're watching science fiction.
You're an alien planet.
We're an alien
with giant
planet
blue monkeys.
Where the entire planet is one shared, like, hive mind ecosystem. Mm. And you're saying that these other giant, like, okay, you've got the Na'vi who are sentient and walking around. Essentially, they're just big, giant, blue human cat people. But the ones that dwell in the water, these giant whales, what, they also can't be.
And their favorite movie
sentient?
Was Little Mermaid when they're a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I must be drawn here this far, no
yeah.
further.
And I just can never understand that. So yeah. I like the idea that these whales are like, ah, oh, shit, that's sun. Oh, it's time, hey? All the these are what the stories are about, little one. Let's go over there. Sam, go and find your friend Rodney and tell him, you know, and then just the horde of them coming along. And I started to, like, worry that, okay, it wasn't like the whale was a really big character in the submerged one from last year where Grace Under Pressure, where Carter shows up or anything. But it did show up, and it was like, oh, we followed this thing because we figured he was interested in something. That something happened to be the puddle jumper. So, a la, the whale saved you. And then in this, it's like the whales are coming. Holy shit, there's a lot of whales coming. And we're all suffering from some shit. I'm like, oh, damn. The whales are bad. They're evil or something. Like, I just thought, I don't necessarily think they were coming to attack Atlantis, but I'm like, have they got ulterior motives or something? Like, why are they doing this? And it was like, no. They've come to help us.
Why didn't they extend the shields to push the whales further away?
Because then the whales would have died.
Well, you can do it slowly. Just kind of nudge them.
But that's the whole reason they came, though, is because they wanted to get under the shield. That's...
Fuck them whales. Give me a headache.
If it weren't for them whales...
You're killing folks.
Hey, if it weren't for them whales, A, Rodney would have been dead for the last 12 months, and B, we wouldn't have known about the coronal mass ejection in
That's
time,
fine.
And we would have been dead as well.
But just, no, just move them lower, and then, because they don't have to be under the protection the whole time.
Of the coronal mass ejection, they do.
Yes, but not before that.
Yeah, it's like,
didn't happen till the end, did it? When
be quiet,
when
we
Daedalus
get what's going
go
on, guys.
Off.
Yeah, the whale. I don't understand. Why are you attacking the whales? They weren't doing anything wrong.
Just saying, what to stop people from dying, they should extend the shield temporarily until they can everybody gets well again, and then they can cover as many whales as they want.
Yeah, but then that's when I think it was going through the shield, wasn't it? That was like the communications. They could detect through the shield. That was the problem.
Oh, so it was like an amplifier.
No, it wasn't an amplifier. It's just the shield didn't stop. Like if
yeah, but if the whales were further away.
If you're in Atlantis and I'm standing just outside Atlantis where the shield's up, I can still talk to you. There can be a shield in between. It's like
yes,
being...
but if you push the shield out, I'll be on the other side of the city and you can't hear me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But then when the coronal mass ejection goes off,
no, you can come back.
But they didn't have time, remember? Rodney said it would be a matter, they'd have a matter of a minute. There's no way you could push the shield
I'm saying
out.
Down and a little bit wide. And then open it, they all come in.
Look, this is why Rodney went to Atlantis and not you.
Mate.
That science does not check out.
Push the fucking whales away. And then they didn't even use Atlantis anyway. They used Daedalus. Whatever it is now. Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like I think probably what the script didn't hit on hard enough is the ancients probably smart enough to find a way to attenuate that noise so they weren't getting nosebleeds and going deaf. Because obviously, like, as far as we're aware...
Well, they extended the shield to 2/3 of the planet or whatever they said, which that means the whales would be not crowding around Atlantis, so they'd be more spread out.
Yeah,
so it wouldn't
I guess
be
that's a good
as
point.
Affecting.
That's good.
But that's
yeah,
what
I guess,
I'm saying about
I guess,
pushing them away.
I guess
you're
that's
just
like
what, short of protecting Taylor's people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Taylor.
And I guess that is something that Roddy said, and this is something that I guess you were talking about in The Return, was we only have one ZPM, not three, so we couldn't increase our shields the same way, like
exactly
the way Atlantis would have back in the day. Mm.
But
and
we
yeah,
could vaporize those whales.
No,
if we wanted to.
I love the flagellates.
Sure,
I just love saying flagellates. Yes, honestly, it's just a great word. But yeah, this is where they specify that when the replicators / ancients took over Atlantis, one of those two groups built some more ZPMs, yeah. ZZPMs. So Atlantis was running on three, but then Odyssey got one and Earth got one. It's weird that Odyssey got one. I feel like of all the places they could have sent it, I feel like Odyssey was an odd choice to give the third.
I guess they just really need.
But what is Odyssey going to use it for?
Try and kill the Aura ships.
Yeah, but I mean, as an audience, what a...
What
that,
we get
is
out
that
of
gonna
it?
Make their beam weapons more powerful?
Yeah, and their shields.
Then the shields powerful? Yeah, I just
yeah, their shields.
I guess. I just you'd think the Daedalus would get it so that it could make the trip back and forward in like 4 days rather
well,
than
3 weeks.
Well,
they did give it to the Daedalus, and my hugest pet peeve with this episode is that it took Rodney like 2 hours to set up a ZPM to channel it into the Daedalus. He had all those cables and everything. It was like setting up your Super Nintendo into the old RCA ports. Like, you'd think there would just be a simple Atari-based made plug-and-play with the ZPM. It didn't make sense for him to be connecting shit.
There would be, but maybe it's connected to the engines, not the shields, and that's what he specifically had to... I'm just theorizing. I don't know. I don't have any skin in this game, but maybe it's just because obviously, yeah, you're right. The Daedalus would have had to have had the original ZPM connected up to it to get over here as
well. It's
as
a
it
power
did.
Source, right? So it would,
yeah,
whatever your power source for the vehicle is, it powers the shields, it powers it your hyperspace engines.
Well,
everything.
I mean, we've got a fuel tank for the engine, but then we've got the battery for the electronics. So maybe it's a
for the turnover.
Yeah, maybe the ZPM was connected up to the fuel tank to get over here, but it wasn't connected up to the battery, which is what the shield runs off, kind of thing. I don't know, I'm just
I think the ancients are a little bit smarter than us.
I'm just making, just a little bit.
But yeah, I just found it weird that we created these spaceships and we had the Prometheus and we knew about ZPMs back then, but they still don't have just like a nice little plug and play like the ancients
ready to
do
go,
and
just
bang.
In case.
Yeah, like you might need a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Given that SGC tablets have the little wire connected to the ancient crystal that we can just plug in.
USB
and,
crystal.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. So
USB-C.
I just like the idea that, you know, here we are saying, oh, we only got 3 out of them. You know, when they started creating more that, you know, we had the SGA team ready to rescue O'Neill and Woolsey during the return, but they could tell that there was a couple of replicators working on creating like 10, 20 ZZPMs. And it's like, we could go and rescue O'Neill and Woolsey now, but if we did that and sort of break into the joint, it's going to be all hands on deck and those guys are going to stop building those ZZPMs. Or we could hold off, definitely lose Woolsey, maybe lose O'Neill, and get like an extra 15 ZZPMs out of it. And they just go, we'll just wait a minute and just see. Like, you know, they're sacrificing the people they're there to save so that they could definitely be absolutely sorted with as many ZZPMs as they wanted.
Or did they not just like look at the logs and go, okay, which room did they go to make those?
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that the replicators brought them with them in their ship or whatever.
Worth a look, though.
Yeah, but worth a look just to go, well, obviously Atlantis would have to have a ZZPM room, like a manufacturing room, so that when they run out, they can just make another one. You know,
Turns out they're just rechargeable.
the whole time.
If you can put it into that 0 point energy where they capture it, all the energy from those universes.
The little circle thing that Rod appeared in.
Yeah. It just fills it back up and
it was the smoke monster from episode 3, you know. It just grabs a ZZPM and just recharges it.
Yes.
Maybe they bring back and they close off the show and they walk into a room, they find a room they've never seen before and there's just like a click to resume, you know, screen that's up.
Or
and it's like they're in the mad process of creating 100 ZZPMs that are fully powered by this other thing that they also don't know that they have.
Or even worse, it's like when they found the jumper bay and the lights come on and there's just like 20 different jumpers sitting there. Turns out there's a room where all the power's turned off and it's like when you turn it on, there's just an entire it's like Snape's apothecary of all potions and it's just hundreds just up on a shelf of ZZPMs just ready to go and they're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I feel like they should just give us 3 ZPMs and then not use that as a crutch.
I
understand that it's like, all right, we're too formidable then. You can just go around flying around with Atlantis and shit up, but
but it's also it's like they've established like in episode 1 like the ancients, the actual ancients with Atlantis and ZPMs and all the knowledge of the ancients couldn't defeat the Wraith,
not in time.
So it's like us little plebs having 3 ZZPMs shouldn't really...
Yeah.
It's not like that's going to put us over the top.
Exactly.
Then again, we do like to fuck around with ancient technology, so we would probably fuck it up and try and, like, overstep. Like, spoiler alert for next week, when, you know, Merlin just had a nice, cool little gadget, and Carter goes, let's dial it up to 12.
Yeah.
just unnecessarily.
Yeah.
I guess it's the same kind of thing. Like, if we had, quote-unquote, spare ZZPMs, imagine the fuckery that we would be doing with them.
Mm.
So,
And the drones, too. We got to make drones.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. They never addressed that, do they?
We're running low of drones in the Arctic chair.
Mm. Mm.
And then they don't even really talk about it in terms of jumpers. Like, the jumpers always seem to have a couple.
Mm. Yeah, I think they saw like 20 of them or something when we first see them in Rising.
Yeah.
And I guess we've only lost maybe two or three at this point, I suppose.
And they've come from the Milky Way using Atlantis as a ship. So it would have to be self-sufficient and self-sustaining.
Atlantis itself. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So it doesn't make... They would have to be somewhere in that city where they can regenerate that power.
Surely. Surely. But meanwhile, we just plug in fucking Nakwita generator after Nakwita generator after Nakwita generator.
Yeah. And those things look like the dodgiest shit. It's like Carter knows that they're inefficient, but she's like, she just doesn't have time. She's like, I really need to upgrade that, but I don't have time.
It's one of those projects, you know? Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's like, here we are going out into the galaxy and, you know, when they get asked, well, we're out there trying to find, you know, ZZPMs just like all the time, obviously. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, but I feel like every episode, at least every second episode, someone brings up the fact that there is so much of the city they haven't investigated yet, haven't explored yet. And they're like, oh, there's probably heaps of shit out there that we don't know about. I'm like, can we not put the focus into that? You know,
now that the Daedalus is there and the Gate Bridge soon.
Yep.
They should be like, fill it. There should be a million people in that city.
Yeah.
There should be one team out exploring and 50 teams just going room by room.
Yeah.
Room by room.
And then when we lose,
catalog it.
SGA-7. Or something, like you were saying the other week about the lack of respect that SG-1 has always seemed to have had for anyone not in SG-1, especially O'Neill.
Apart from Quask.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's like, well, all of the SG teams, they're out there doing the same shit. We just don't get to see it unless they come back and they've had some trouble and then we send in the big guns. But generally speaking, they can handle themselves. Where in SGA, it's like, well, that would make sense if we had one team out there exploring. Half of them are filled with aliens from that galaxy. And then everyone else is on the base. At least when those guys, you know, they haven't got field experience or they haven't been field ready for months. It would make sense when they get killed off. There wouldn't be as much disrespect because they're not out there. They're getting, you know, boots on the ground and living these fights and living these battles and stuff. So that
instead, what happened? Lorne's team gets captured by the Genii and they had to do that whole grand episode of us having to rescue them after thinking they were dead. And it's like, well, there's no exploring going on that week because we had to save those idiots where they should have just been walking around the bloody city.
Yeah.
Just checking shit out.
It's like they've treated Atlantis like the moon. You know, it's like we went to the moon for, what, how many years? Like for two? 69 they landed and the last one they landed like 71, 72 or something? Like was it?
Something like that.
Hardly been on the moon, right? I know we tried to get there for a long time. Humans, tried to get there for a long time. Got up there and went, yeah, probably done here.
Yeah.
That was 50 years
ago. Turns out it is just a bunch of rocks. Okay.
Yeah. But like, you know, set up something up there, you know, have a bit of fun up there. Put a golf course in there, for Christ's sake, you know, something.
Also,
and then, like, Atlantis is like, they get there, they're like, wow, we've finally found the mythological lost city of Atlantis. It's in another planet, in another galaxy. Oh, my God, it's this millions of years old, this ancient race. It's got all this crazy technology. They're like, well, we're here now. Like, let's not go further than we can see. And I'm, like, in an office, so I can see, like, three rooms. I'm not going further than that. That,
and also, like, surely, we can walk into a Westfields, and then you walk in, and there's like that big display where it can just be like, "You are here."
Mm.
Type in what you want to find, the room you want to find, and go, "Okay, you have to walk down." Is there not a directory in Atlantis, like something that says, like,
it's a city?
Yeah, it's like, this room is Moros's bedroom.
Yeah,
this room is Morgan Le Fay's bedroom.
Yeah,
this is the ZZPM creation room.
Mm.
This is the Gatrium. This is where you eat. This is where you... Like, surely, they couldn't just look that up? What's Weir doing?
Nothing. Exactly,
well,
Maddie.
Given that she's the only one, apparently, that can read ancient on that entire fucking base, when they're out, you know, exploring, why isn't she sitting in her office instead of playing solitaire? Just reading the directory, going,
she's not good at her job. I don't, she does play solitaire, strangely.
Yeah, just that moment where she starts like hearing shit, and she's like, "Oh yeah, ancient this, blah blah blah." And I'm like, "Oh, that seems so." Like, I keep forgetting that there are moments along the way that tell me that you can do this. But it, like, when Daniel does it, I'm like, "Yeah, it makes sense." You know, and like Carter,
he's been doing it.
Been doing
it
a long time. Whereas Weir's like had a couple of brief moments where it's like, I can do this now because I need to. The show needs me to.
Yeah.
In whatever moment it needed me to do that, and we keep remembering that I can do that. It's still like, it just feels like so convenient. Right.
Well, it was the same way that like that was it. Reckoning or whatever, when like Sam and Jacob are trying to like decipher the ancient puzzle on Dakara using Daniel's notes, and it's like, Sam can't read ancient at this point, but Weir can. Sam's had so much more dealings with ancients and stuff like that.
Just another project, like next to the generator, is a book, is a thesaurus and dictionary and translator book from English to ancient. She's like, I will get to that.
But also, who's the one who like has to make all the repairs and keep Atlantis running? Rodney. You think he would know more ancient
than he does. I think
Zelenka
does a lot of that heavy lifting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So all I can think of is that Rodney just kind of like plugs in his tablet and has it all translated to English and just doesn't bother to actually learn ancient.
Rodney knows ancient better than Daniel Jackson in the future.
That's in the future, mate. That's when he's...
not too far in the future.
Taking the time. but yeah, at this point, you know, we had to come in and like translate for Rodney.
Yeah.
Which is good because it does give. I've always said, you know, Weir is the Daniel Jackson of Atlantis. You know,
yeah,
so it's
you're
like,
the only one who said that.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious in the same way that McKay
it makes
is
no
the
sense.
Well,
to me.
McKay is the Carter of Atlantis. Taylor is the Teal'c of Atlantis until Ronan shows up, and then she's the Ford. She's the Ford of Atlantis.
Yeah, she is now.
She's become the Ford of Atlantis.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
it's like they go, oh, we can't have two women.
Mm.
We barely can write for one. Just ask Brendan.
Well,
we can't.
I mean, if you think about
we can't
it,
can't possibly write for two of you.
Do you know?
And even at the end
of
the episode,
wild.
Yeah.
At the moment, in season 3 and season 10 of Stargate, right now, they have doubled the amount of women. We went, like, no, quadrupled.
Yeah.
Like, for the first 7 years of...
What about the Asians?
Justice for the
still
Asians.
None of those.
Yeah, this is bullshit.
But it's like for the first 7 or 8 years of Atlantis... Oh, sorry, of SG-1, you had Carter.
Yeah, she's hot.
So then for Atlantis, they go, you know what? We're going to double the amount of women. We're going to have Taylor... and Weir.
Mm.
Now they're writing for 3 women.
Mm.
Then season 9 comes along and they go, you know what? Let's add Vala to the main cast.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Now we have 2 women on both shows.
Oh,
and there's a
10.
Bunch of these nerds who've never touched a vagina in their lives having to write for 4 different strong, independent, smart women. And they have no f***ing clue what they're
doing.
You
know what else we're going to do? Throw in a woman villain. She's the main villain. She's the lead villain. Hey, there you go. You know, Adria.
Oh, right,
the face
right,
of the
right,
villains
right,
at the very
right,
least.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. But because they're still men, they're going to put her in a low-cut top.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's her choice, mate. She's a feminist.
That's it.
She's allowed to have choices.
Yeah.
She likes getting the puppies out and about.
The views expressed by Brendan Gibson don't necessarily reflect those. LLC.
At the end of this episode, as far as like, oh, that, you know, Taylor was the Teal'c and now she's not, and then you got Ronan.
Now she's
like,
the Ford.
At the end of the episode, where she's there meditating, and then Ronan comes along, and I just figured because he's an alien, he would do some cool shit like that. But she has to, don't you dare fall asleep again. He's like, all right, you know, get down. I'm like, oh well, you really are two sides of Teal'c. Like, one of you is this like doesn't say a lot warrior who's just out to kill the enemy, and the other one of you is this like spiritual, deep thinker.
Articulate,
you
know, speaker.
Yeah. Speaks very well. Teal'c speaks very well, just doesn't say a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they very much are Teal'c split down the middle. And I probably don't respect that enough until that moment where I figured Ronan wouldn't need so. Okay, he's Ronan, I probably should, but it would make Teal'c meditating. I'm like, that makes sense. Taylor's meditating. I'm like, that makes sense. If Ronan did it too, I'm like, yeah, it makes sense because you're an alien. Like, and humans don't do like cool shit. Like, I don't know. Mm. Yeah.
And they're all slightly more tan than the
I like it.
The,
I like that Ronan was snoring. That was
good. And then this classic moment of Ronan's.
How are they doing? Well, according to my calculations, the blast wave should have hit us by now, but I'm meeting no discernible increase in radiation.
So they're doing good.
Thank you, Ronan.
Yes. So far, anyway.
Yeah, Zelenka should have known.
I'm
here to look good and dick bitches.
And I'm all out of bitches.
Shortly after you so eloquently put it, Brennan, them whales, you said, you know, they're only killing people. And there was that moment where...
Like, yeah, I'm a speciesist.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
But we're in their ocean, yeah. Right? It's their ocean.
Yeah.
Don't care.
We're visitors in their ocean.
We've conquered it.
That's you know? If you go out swimming and get bit by a shark, that's your fucking fault,
yes,
mate.
So I'm going to put a fucking mad city in there with shields to stop that shit.
Oh, so you support shark nets, do you? Oh, okay. All right.
No, I support whale killing through shields... Yeah.
If Brennan
just bumping them, just bumping them slowly. Come on, let's move away. You're killing us. I don't know if you know that. We'll help you.
Well, they don't know.
Can you stop killing us?
They don't know. They're just a bunch.
Exactly. So it's like
just
a gentle,
whales.
Gentle push with the.
It was gonna though. Like right, like there's that moment. Everyone's talking. All of a sudden, Weir's like, "Oh, f- this shit," and just faints. You know. And then they wheel her, put her on the.
This shit, I'm out.
And she's on the table. They're like, Beckett runs in and like with absolutely no concern in his voice at all. And it just brings back what Brendan's been saying about him. They look at him and he's like, yeah, we're just going to prepare for our first fatality. And I'm like, that's the boss. Like, you went to dinner with her the other week. You went around to check whether she was okay. And all of a sudden she's going to die in front of you. Like, yeah, better check on the whole list. It's going to be the first fatality of the whales because all he wants to do is get her fucking boots.
Yeah.
He wants her shoes and he doesn't care that Weir's about to die in front of him.
Well, he's not excited because he can't fit into them. They're too small for him. He can't wear them.
No, that's true.
You know, he can't fit into
them. He doesn't have to wear. Like, if he can wear them, he'll love it.
Mm. Yeah, but just squeeze into him.
I think he would.
Go full, as a Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Well,
I reckon Buffalo Bill would wear
puts
it,
on,
it.
Puts on the boots, puts on Weir's red shirt, tucks his dick bag, and then just walks around going, John, John,
like, Jen. Beckett would put on, the sort of knee-high boots that lace up and, like, you know, the leather sort of crosses over one another.
Vala's boots when she rocked up
He wouldn't be able to do that because his legs would be, like, bigger than Weir's, so he would have, like, his hairy sort of legs popping out of but it wouldn't matter, like, as long as he could kind of put it on.
Yeah.
Mm. Even if it was more
It was a shoe,
but he had to wear it as a high heel because he couldn't wedge his foot
in there. He's actually thought about binding. Yeah. Chinese foot binding.
Yeah.
He's been training like a corset. He trains himself and just... Yeah, he goes to bed with corsets around his calves to try and just tighten
lotion
them.
Lotion in the basket.
Yeah. Apparently that's a thing. It's just not great that we're all wearing headphones, but apparently a lot of the streamers and stuff out there are getting like headphone skulls where it's like they're getting like indents on their heads.
Yeah.
From the headphones like constantly being on. I actually realized I have it too from my glasses. There's actually like an indent in the back of my head. Where my glasses sort of sit over my ear.
Well, I always see that one that's like above your ear, like where the what's this thing called?
Your brain.
Thank you. Yeah, they can't think of the word of the arm of the glasses.
The frame.
You can see you can sort of see that you know it leaves a little bit of a or maybe it's just because I got a big head and you see that it really
holds
on
a big
for
head.
Well, I've been wearing the same glasses since I was 16.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just
you should probably get a new prescription, mate.
Oh yeah, no, I've had this prescription upgraded, but I'm just saying I've been wearing glasses constantly since I was 16.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, that I hadn't heard of that because I've obviously heard of the phone one where they say, you know, pull up your pinky and you can see that, you know, because that's where how we hold our phones.
Yeah.
That it's starting to affect.
Because I've got it on my left hand and I never.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Look how much further down my pinky hangs. Just naturally, if you just naturally.
Watch how my nuts hang.
Actually, yeah. Geez, I hadn't noticed that. And if you see me now, I only ever wear one side of my headphones on.
Same.
It's just a thing in the studio. I don't know why. Like, it's. Normal, I think, to me, to be able to hear you in person, but also hear you coming through the headphones.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always have it on my right ear. That feels normal, and I'm trying
left
to make
for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a conscious decision to try and 50-50 it and move it to my left because I'm like, surely after doing radio for 15 years and I'm wearing these headphones for 3 hours a day, I'm doing more damage to my right ear than I am to my left. And so but I should also, probably try to start. Do I just stick with it and like kill my right ear eventually? Or do I try and like level it out?
Yeah.
And
or just
like
turn it down.
Well, I think it's, yeah.
Yeah, but even then I'm like, I turn it down. I turn it
make a very good point.
But then I actually like right now I turn it down and like, yeah. I can't, it's like I've got
it
down.
I don't like it.
I don't like it very much. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But also I think it comes down to the like your left brain versus your right brain thing. They've done tests where it's like you and me having a conversation with someone on a telephone, and it's like if they're talking to you in an analytical, you know, instructional type of way, you'll have your phone on one side.
Right.
But then if they change the topic and start talking about you about something sort of emotional or something like that, you'll actually subconsciously like switch to the other ear.
That is interesting.
What if your arm is sore?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
my
that's...
neck. I can't like turn my neck. Like that's about it. And I'm Batmaning at the moment. Like if I'm turning, I'm actually turning my whole body because my left side of my neck stuff. So I was on the phone the other day and I was really doing this, like between my right shoulder and my ear. And I'm like, this is getting tiresome, but I can't possibly do that because my Christ, am I in pain? So
God, is he angling for us to give him a massage or what?
I feel like it. I want to.
I want someone to crack my back at the very least, guys. if you got some lotion, you want to give me a bit
of
a back rub.
I'll crack whatever you got, mate. Whatever you want me to crack.
I'll bend that back.
Your neck, your back, my just
don't
like that.
Don't worry about it.
This one, like I said, it was split down the middle for me. I watched it in two halves, and the second half was a very different end to what I thought it was going to be. But then it seemed to really quicken from, hey, what's going on with these whales? And something weird's happening, and people getting headaches to like, oh, the sun's about to explode. We've got to get up there. And shields on, boom, end of episode. It was like, and to the point where like the Daedalus is up there just copping all the heat from the sun. Yeah. And I still thought that was like...
Just a bukkake of coronal mass.
But it happened so quick. I'm like, this is what they need to do to survive to then fix the next thing or to fix what happens after, whatever. And I'm like, oh no, that was the thing. And all of a sudden, you know, Rodney's back and everyone's feeling okay now and the whales have left except for Sam. And I'm like, oh, is that... That was what they were building up to. Like, it just seemed like there was not even a slow build-up. I didn't get bored with the build-up, but it was like they got there and went, shit, we're at... Like, I actually tapped the time code. I'm like, I'm at 38 minutes.
Yeah.
And all this shit's starting to happen now. I'm like, this is over in 2.5. Like, this is...
Lucky the Daedalus was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they did make a point. They're like, well, sure, they could just have their shield on and survive it, but the coronal mass ejection would have basically been an extinction-level event for the rest of the planet. So the Athosians never could have moved back to the mainland. All the trees would have died and there would be no oxygen in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, that wasn't a problem for the ancients, you know, 15,000 years ago. They just extended the shield, which probably would have, you know, kept some of the mainland going. And then over the last 15,000 years, it's all just kind of grown back.
Yeah.
Zelenka said they found spots of devastating...
That's right. That's right. I get too busy getting distracted by this this gold from Zelenka.
The whales were aware this was happening.
Well, a lot of animals, whales, dolphins,
pigeons,
are affected by the tiniest anomalies in the magnetosphere. It's as if their internal compasses are somehow pigeons?
Yeah, homing pigeons, yes. I used to raise them before coming here. We used to consult solar charts before our pigeon races.
Pigeon races.
Rodney?
Holy shit, I had actually forgotten about that part. Right. When he said pigeons, I'm like, oh, now my own backstory is that he used to race pigeons.
Yeah.
And then that's, yeah.
Would it,
I still don't get how any of that shit works.
Would
my
it shock you to know, this is not the last we hear
about
of Zelenka and his pigeons.
Do we hear about the turtles?
No, I don't believe we hear
not the wee baby turtles.
I don't think we ever actually got any resolution on what happened to his wee baby turtle.
He's going to go back in like years and find this like festering chunky mass of the water that has taken in all the and then just be a floating shell, two empty shells,
and a rat using it as a canoe.
One's a daybed, one's a canoe.
Yeah
And then you think about the poor realtors,
because
these guys just upped and left.
Yep.
Yeah, they got six vacant houses or...
That's right. Didn't Rodney like
no
have to give his cat to that hot neighbor? Remember there was the hot neighbor that he had to give his cat to that he thought was into him and she clearly wasn't.
Yeah, now pets not a good idea, but I like the idea that maybe they could bring pigeons. Maybe they carry pigeons. Maybe that's how they keep in touch with tailless people.
Yeah.
They send pigeons out across the ocean.
Nah, tailless people are going to eat them, put them in that soup.
That's true.
Yeah they're going to get that shitty soup that the old lady makes. Mm. They're like, oh, let's add some pigeon meat to that.
Would the dark side of the planet not be as affected? Would it kind of wrap around?
I don't know.
Or maybe like the magnetosphere.
Yeah, like,
killing
like
in the atmosphere.
Radiation
thing, saying,
in
maybe,
the atmosphere
or,
and, yeah, I guess.
But maybe you're right. Maybe it wouldn't have been as affected. And maybe that's the point. Like,
that's why they Atlantis just probably are on the light side of the planet with extending their shields as much as possible. And
yeah, but it also convenient that 15,000 years apart, Atlantis would actually be in the daylight part of the planet both times. That's
maybe they flew there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we never really established whether it just like moves around, like because it's obviously not anchored. So is it just moving with the tide, or is it too big for the tide to move it?
Yeah,
or
I was thinking that.
Does it have little stabilizers like a boat that just kind of holds it in place? Or?
I feel like it's so massive that the small waves wouldn't affect it too much, and they break on it a lot. Or is it the inertial dampeners?
Yeah,
as well?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Is there little things that are kind of holding it in that
spot?
Because
if they find it, they'd have to find the flattest place ever to put Atlantis.
Mm. Yeah.
For you not to be like walking downhill.
Yeah.
So I guess the water probably levels them out.
Mm.
Interesting.
Is it also a matter of convenience, the idea that like, you know, this sunspot, and when we saw it, it's like, oh my God, it's all, you know, and it like you just saw this, you know, mass just sort of shrink down and just explode out.
Yeah.
You know, like... When you see those shots online where they remind you about the size of space and everything in it and like how tiny the Earth is compared to the sun.
Mm.
When we see, like, it might be a case of the CGI letting down the story or whatever. Like, we didn't see the sun as a whole, but we saw enough of the curvature that we're seeing like a quarter of that sun.
Yeah.
That mass that shrunk down and then exploded out as a blast, for lack of a better word, surely would have been...
bigger.
So much bigger that it would have covered like tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of kilometers
and it whips
on
too.
Either side. Yeah, either side of the planet.
Yeah.
That the idea that it was only enough, it got down to a point where the Daedalus shields were enough, or the Daedalus itself and its shield, surrounding shield, it's not that big really, were enough to like deflect it elsewhere. I'm like,
you would have had to be in the perfect position.
Yeah.
And I think the CGI did let it down in that it was like a pinpoint laser.
We've said that before, that the CGI doesn't always necessarily reflect what the writing did, but I think the writing also hid behind that one line where Rodney was like, I don't think you understand how close we're going to get, and that's how this tiny little ship is going to deflect it with how close we're going to be to the sun.
Mm.
But I think what you're all forgetting is Rodney's amazing little drawing that he did on his tablet. I think that, forget any CGI, that is all
that was
I needed.
Good.
That is all I needed to buy everything he was saying.
He's like, how do I dumb it down enough for you? Idiot!
You
I'll draw
you
it.
Fucking military tards. I'm gonna give you a play school level, like a drawing. Sesame Street would be like, nah, that's too rudimentary.
Why didn't they just like fly away to a different planet?
Because they don't know how.
Is that the reason?
I don't want to say anything because it's a potential spoiler for Mitchell.
Surely,
I appreciate that.
Mm.
Surely Shepard would be like, this is easy. It's like flying a puddle jumper.
Well, maybe we'll talk about it in an undisclosed amount of episodes.
Indeed.
Mm. God, how much would he love to do that? You know, like you get to pilot a little water, plane, you know, sort of, you know, flying over a little, maybe a bit of rescue, something with an open canopy. Then you get to fly a jet, you get to fly Air Force One or something. You get to pilot as on water, a battleship cruiser or something. And, you know, then you get to old mate and he's piloting the Daedalus and you're like, okay, that's the biggest thing that anyone in human history has ever piloted. And then John Shepard gets to fly a New York sized city through space. Yeah. You'd be like, I'm putting the queue in the rack. No one will ever top. Like, no one will ever top this.
It's not as big as New York.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but just the shit that we've spoken about it before.
It's about as big as the Golden Gate Bridge.
Something like that. Yeah, maybe we'll talk about it in an undisclosed number of episodes.
Okay. And I'm only going what you guys have said before about being Manhattan sized.
No, man. As many rooms
as Manhattan.
Right. Yeah.
All within the size of the Golden Gate.
I'll take that's one bridge, for this. But there's a bunch of idiots who started watching Star Trek Voyager. Shut up. I didn't mean it like that. But in a very early episode, they say, oh, look, we've only got 14 torpedoes left. And Janeway, because they get stranded on the other side of the Milky Way galaxy, it's going to take them 7 years to get home. And they go, we've got no way to replace these once they're gone. But then over the series, they fire about 4,000 torpedoes.
Yeah.
Obviously, they figure out a way to make
replicators.
Them. Yeah, they got ways to make them. They just hadn't made any at that point. But people seem to think that means, oh, they were only ever going to have 14 torpedoes for the entire fucking run of the series, which was stupid.
Yeah, you write a number and people stick to that.
Yeah. But what I was getting
it
at...
It could have been fun. I mean, you think of, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean. Jack Sparrow had one bullet for one guy, and he faced all those pirates he could have shot at, but he saved it for Jeffrey Rush. Or Deadpool, he had 12 bullets, but he's saving one for Francis. That's a great scene.
You get a that's one for the Pirates of the Caribbean, Mitchell.
Do I?
What?
I don't f*** around with that bullshit.
That's amazing. The first Caribbean is awesome.
I never made it through one of those films.
Oh, my God. The first one is... It is so terrible. Good. Terrible. Oh,
terrible.
I will not stand for that. No.
I will. I'll tell you all right
it's
now.
It's a Disney movie.
I've been on the Pirates of Caribbean. I've been on the Pirates of Caribean ride in Disneyland, and I was bored out of my mind.
The ride is boring.
Boring as
slow moving through while these animatronics are like, hello, I am a pirate.
More entertaining than the film.
No.
I will put it on record. I will sit down with you two motherfuckers and watch all three extended Lord of the Rings films before I will sit down and watch one Pirates of the Caribbean
film. And I know how much you hate Lord of the Rings.
Exactly.
I mean, I would take watching the
11 Academy Awards.
Yeah. Not that's just one film.
That's one film.
According to four people.
Not a big deal. Thousands, but you know.
No, I mean the Academy, the people in the Academy that gave them.
Thousands,
Yeah,
that vote for it. No, well, you know. If you ask a question, I'm going
to
give you the answer.
What I was getting to about 8 hours ago was... We'll get to it in an undisclosed amount of episodes, the thing we're talking about. But also what we'll get to in an undisclosed amount of episodes is I feel like what is a little secret setup in this episode that I think Brendan will know what I'm getting at. When, I forget who says it, but they say, when's the last time you took a day off?
Yes, I wrote that down, exactly that.
Yeah.
Sorry, 3-star, I missed that.
It was the psychologist.
Right.
She was asking Elizabeth about Taylor's issues. I'm like, you can't ask a doctor about someone else.
Yep.
Even if you are, you know, whatever, you can have a certificate. Yeah, but she said, when's the last day you had off? And she's like, literally, I had 6 weeks off. Mm. Last week, episode. Yeah,
last week, that's what she was depressed because she was having too many days off.
She had 6 weeks off.
Eating takeout in her sweats.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just living our weekend lives, as we pointed out. Our dream lives.
ZZPM.
If anything.
Hing herself.
Now, Maddie, there's one more grab that I've got here, and it was the thing that I came in. I'm like, oh, I wish I would have gotten that. And I don't know. I'm only going by what it looks like.
Yeah.
What you've named it
play
as.
Play it.
I'll play it.
Go for
Hang
it.
On, before you play it, what was your point about her not having days off?
In an undisclosed amount of episodes, we will discuss the fact that Heitmeyer said, when was your last day off?
I see.
Hinting at... something we will discuss in an undisclosed amount of episodes.
Yeah, she had 6 weeks off, mazzing herself Netflix style.
Fair enough.
With a bright orange vibrator, she called a ZZPM.
Most of them are gone now. They began dispersing almost immediately.
Not so much as a thank you.
No, thank you.
Ba-dum-tsh. That was all right.
Now, obviously, she's still suffering from hearing loss.
Yeah.
But narcissism.
Because she was understanding ancient and a weird sort of thing, which I haven't mentioned, I should do before we wrap up the way that those the voices and stuff. Mm. But because we were dealing with whales, I honestly thought she for a second, I'm like, is she trying to speak whale? Like, in Finding Nemo. This is her.
No. Thank you.
Like, oh, no.
I'd forgotten temporarily about the hearing loss or whatever else was going on. And
you
no! Thank you!
You thought it was a Finding Nemo reference.
I thought just for a fleeting moment.
I mean, when Martin Giro is on the writing staff, you never f***ing know.
That's true. He had Ghostbusters the other day.
Yeah, actually, I really do want a scene now where Weir walks out onto the terrace and just goes, no, thank you.
Or Rodney could have wrapped the episode up like that. Thank you, Sam.
And that Giro line brilliant. Last week in Atlantis about O'Neill.
Close my eyes and think of the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Yeah. It still doesn't make any sense. And the English one isn't better. I just think of England.
I've heard that more. Close your eyes and think of England. I think that might even be like a Monty Python line or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. But wouldn't you just write, I just like to think of cake or fishing or, you know, anything that's Jack related would have been a bit better.
Well, I mean, Jack and Brad Wright came up with the think of England. That was what they came up with.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm just saying even that's not great.
Yeah, it's fine. I think it's... I'm Googling, Holly.
All right, sorry.
Well, Close Your Eyes and Think of England is a song by Del Amitri. which I didn't know, whoever that is.
Delamood.
Oh, it's from 2021. That doesn't count.
Hey,
that
do what we did last week, Brendan. You Google it too and see what opposite information we know. It's not.
I got macaroons.
The Guns of Nova Rome, 1961.
What is it?
Let us off for once. Go on, be a pal, be a father to your man. Climb down off that cross of yours. Close your eyes, think of England and pull the trigger. That classic movie, The Guns of Nova Rome.
Yeah.
That's good. We can finish with that.
Can I quickly, though, because one of the first things that really stood out for me, because it happened early, but that I really liked about this was when Taylor had first had the vision and she didn't know what it was at the time. Like, she was actually asking it questions. Oh, hi, how are you? How can I help you? You know, this weird figure walking down the hallway, and just the I'm almost describing it as like some kind of weird, like, bubbling sound effect that you might hear that would match something weird as a screensaver, you might say. That, and I really, like, because what I hate when we have an alien in a show, it's like, give them a deep voice and they talk like this because they're different than us. And it's like, really? Like, that's the limit as to how an alien can sound. It's either they, or unless you're Star Wars and they speak with a stereotypical Asian accent, other than speaking a right? It's like a deep voice and it's in gibberish, but this was like a very, very unique sound. And I actually thought that's one of the coolest things I think I've seen in this show was this is how they're speaking.
It's freaky.
Yeah.
I saw it, I'm pretty sure it was very late at night. And then that scene where Taylor comes out and that woman's walking towards her.
Yeah.
And
just screeching. Yeah.
And just very kind of freakily fast, like The Ring, like, or something
like
frenetic,
that. Yeah, frenetic, kind of, yeah.
And you're like, what the f***?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should have had her, like...
Just close your eyes and think of England.
Oh, I'd cut it off. That was a Gilmore Girls quote.
Oh, Jesus.
What a shame.
Thank God.
Just close your eyes and think of England, honey.
Get into Geek. Get into Gate. Get into Gate, Stargate podcast. Get into it now before it's too late.